You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
About 5 years ago, Diane and I were watching television. All of a sudden, the TV started to make some strange sounds. We started to see smoke coming from it, and then it went, poof! No more TV. Sometimes our lives get like that. Too many pressures, too many activities, too many things on our mind, and we're ready to go, poof! All kinds of words describe it. Burnout, breakdown, depression. You can describe it any way you want. Most of us have had experience with it to some extent. Some more, others less. It's a serious matter. It takes all the joy out of life. When you feel ready to go, nothing satisfies. Nothing is joyous and happy. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's something that a friend would say, "Come unto me." A friend is a great way to avoid burning out, breaking down, or whatever you want to call it. Friends always make you feel welcome. "Come on in," a friend says. "Take a load off your feet, sit down, tell me all about it, and rest." My message today is about friends and the best friend of all, Jesus. We're so busy doing things these days that we take people for granted. We're so occupied with our goals in life that people become incidental. We plan parties. We plan sports events. We plan meetings. We plan seasonal activities. Things like holiday parties last month, hay rides in fall, Valentine parties next month, and so on. We plan our nights out, where to go, what to do, how much it'll cost. We plan our nights in, what we're going to watch on TV. We plan everything. We even plan vacation time. Maybe you saw the movie Vacation some years ago. It was about a family that had their vacation planned almost to the minute. Everything is so planned, so organized these days, that sometimes you can't cope. You want to go, poof. We're so busy regimenting our lives, and often we're busy regimenting everybody else's lives, that we forget to be friends. We get so many things on our mind that we forget to treasure people. Do you remember the account of creation in Genesis? God took 6 days to make everything in the world. Earth and ocean, sun and moon, plants and animals, all that in 6 days. Now on that 6th day, God makes the crown of His creation. He makes the most important of all His creatures. On that 6th day, He made something so wonderful that He Himself, God Almighty, takes the 7th day off to marvel at what He has made. And what did God make on that 6th day? Did He make the computer? Well, of course not. But don't we sometimes act like the computer is the crown of creation? Did God make plans on the 6th day? Was He sitting at the typewriter or word processor cranking out the agenda for the next meeting? Well, of course not. But sometimes we act like planning is the most important thing in our life. What did God make on the 6th day? Credit cards and money and malls? No, though we often act like material things are the crown of creation. What did God make on the 6th day? Corporations and work? Sports events? TV? Did He make TV? No! God made people. The crown of creation. The most important thing He made was people. The creation of man and woman was so marvelous that God took the 7th day off to marvel at all He had made, especially people. God created everything else by saying, "Let there be," and there was. Adam and Eve, the first people, were created by God in special ways. Adam from the dust of the ground, and Eve from Adam's rib. People are a marvelous creation. Now, that's true physically. Psalm 139 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The human body is a wondrous thing. It's not indestructible, but it's an amazing creation. Your own experiences in life and the discoveries of science make that evident all the time. The intellectual ability of humanity is amazing. That is, when it's properly used. Improperly used, it's fearful. Best of all, God created mankind in His image. That means that Adam and Eve knew God and were perfectly happy and blessed in their knowledge of God. This is what God created on the sixth day. Not so many of the things that we yearn for. No, Adam and Eve were God's delight. Adam and Eve were such a delight to God that He spent time with them. Genesis chapter 3 tells us that God walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool time of the day. He went to see Adam and Eve. That's the way God was back then. He had Adam and Eve on His mind. That's the way God still is now. He's an outgoing God. He's got people on His mind, you and me. That's why this outgoing God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is begotten of the Father from eternity. He came into this world for you. The great question is, do you know that He came for you? Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you tried enough things in life to know that they really don't satisfy? Have you been doing your own thing, but still your life is empty? Are you someone who labors and is heavy laden and in need of rest? Are you looking for a real and true friend? God hasn't changed since the days of Adam and Eve. God is still outgoing. He's still got people on His mind. But we people have changed. We've changed our friendship. We've left our first love, God. Adam and Eve, who were marvelously created in the image of God, changed their affections. They decided they could make their own decisions and lead their own lives. So they set aside what God had told them to do. They decided that their friendship with God was not the most important thing in their life. But people can't have it both ways. God wants us to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our might. Jesus said, No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. James chapter 4 says, Do you not know that to love the world is to hate God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Long ago, humanity left its intimate friendship with God. Humanity has not been content to be a creature of a great Creator. We haven't liked the idea of identifying our existence with God. Oh, we'd rather chart our own course than to let our Creator lay out our destiny. People simply want to be friends with this world. So what's the result? No one is satisfied with their lot in life. When Jesus talks about people who labor and are heavy laden, people in need of rest, we know what He's talking about. That's the way we so often feel. We're often ready to go, phew. World says you've got to do this and you've got to do that. So since we sinners are on such friendly terms with the world, we do this and we do that. We plan everything, even vacations. We print out our plans on things called agendas. If we're not doing something we've planned, we figure something has to be wrong. What does all this organized activity get us? We have goals and strategies that are measurable and attainable. But what have we attained? Most people, deep down, are unsatisfied. Our regimented modern life has only made people weary and heavy laden and yearning for rest. If one worldly thing doesn't work, we try something else. It amazes me how infatuated people are these days with money and material things. Some years ago, the youth group from our church went to Washington, D.C. for a large youth gathering. One of the events at this gathering of some 17,000 young people was called the Freedom Festival. It was held on the Washington Mall, that vast expanse of grass between the Capitol and the Washington Monument. We told our teenagers that we were going to the Freedom Festival on the Mall. When we got there, the young people looked around. They looked bewildered. Finally, one of them said, "Where are the stores?" The word mall has come to mean stores and shopping and material things. When we explained that this was not a shopping trip, the young people were visibly disappointed. We adults said, "Hey, look, there's the capital of our country. There's the Washington Monument. There's the Smithsonian. This is a fascinating place to be." Now, these young people didn't become materialists on their own. They got it from adults. Adults who yearned to live in the best subdivision, to have a motor home or pool, to have stylish clothes, to have special colored credit cards. Oh, how we have made friends with money and materialism. James chapter 5 says, "Come now, you rich people, cry and howl over the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches are rotten, and your clothes are eaten by moths." Who's satisfied with what they have? We always need a little bit more. We are weary and heavy laden. We need spiritual rest. We need to be brought back to our first love. We need to be brought back to the one who has people on his mind. Humanity needs to return to God. Only Jesus can bring us back. Only Jesus can give satisfaction. Only Jesus can give rest to the worldly weary. You remember what I said before? God is outgoing. God has people on his mind. This outgoing God sent his Son, Jesus, to give you what this world can never give you. "Come unto me," he says, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said that to the people who were oppressed by the man-made rules of the Pharisees and scribes of the first century. He says it today to you who are oppressed by the man-made rules of this 20th century, rules like the suffocating regimentation of the planned life, rules that you have to purchase to be happy, and all the other man-made rules that bring you to the breaking point. Poof! Against all those rules, the divine Son of God extends his arms and says, "Come unto me." The greatest people are friends, and the greatest friend is Jesus. He's the best friend that you could ever have. He demonstrated his love for you by coming into this world. Remember, God is an outgoing God. Jesus taught God's truth rather than man-made rules and oppressive public opinion. He died on the cross for your sins. He died for all those times that you've been a friend of the ways of this world. Jesus himself said, "No one has greater love than this, that a person lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you continue to do what I command you." What is it that Jesus commands you and me to do? He bids you come. "Come unto me." People did that during his visible ministry on earth. People flocked to Jesus. Even the Pharisees, those self-righteous, hell-bound hypocrites, knew that they could go to Jesus, even though they were going to make trouble. They plotted his death. But you don't kill the Lord of life. After his crucifixion, Jesus rose again, and he invites you to come to him for life. Real, satisfying life. He wants you to come to him as the little children did. They knew that he was a friend of children. He wants you to come as the sick did. He's the friend of those who suffer. He wants you to come as the poor did. They knew that Jesus was their lasting treasure. He wants you to come as all sinners have come through the centuries, coming to him as your only help for this life and for the future life. So through the centuries, we sinners have come to Jesus. And we come with the attitude of Peter. In John chapter 6, we read that many of Jesus' followers deserted him. They decided they'd rather be friends with this world. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also want to leave me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Words of life, real, satisfying life. Jesus is the best friend you'll ever have. Some years ago, our daughter Katie was having trouble falling asleep. She was scared. So I said, "Katie, you don't have to be afraid. You know that Jesus is here with you." To that, Kate replied, "I know, but I want someone I can see." Since Jesus has ascended into heaven, we can't see him. He's promised to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. Sometimes it gets hard because we can't see this friend. How then do you go to Jesus if you can't see him? The answer is to go to his words of life. Go to the Bible. Go to the gospel contained in the Bible. Go to the good things that God has done and promises he will do for you. Go to the Heavenly Father who made this beautiful world and crowned it with the creation of mankind. Go to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man. He's true God, powerful to help you. He's also true man who knows what it's like when you're ready to go. And go to the Holy Spirit. Remember, God is an outgoing God. The Father has begotten his Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world for us and our salvation. From the Father and the Son proceeds the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the outgoing third person in the Trinity who comes to you through God's Word and Sacrament to bring to your heart all the blessings of God's life and salvation. Come again and again to the gospel. Come again and again to the Bible. That's the way weary and heavy-laden people come to Jesus for rest. No, we don't see Jesus today, but we hear his voice. We don't see the wounds he endured for our salvation. Those wounds are exalted and glorified in heaven. But we hear the story of all that he did for us in the Bible. See Jesus? No. Hear him? Yes. And what does he say? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the message that a friend shares with a friend. A friend, after all, is someone to whom we can go, take a load off of our feet and rest. A friend is someone to whom we can go when our life is ready to go poof, when the things of this world are suffocating the joy of our life as God's created and redeemed people. We all need a friend, and we can all be a friend. We can all be a friend to someone who needs Jesus. Amen.